Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. And every week we speak with Claire Huang, who's the Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times, with an update and analysis of the latest from the territory. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Howie.
So concerns are growing over a cluster of COVID-19 cases. Health authorities identified more COVID-19 infections stemming from an outbreak at a Hong Kong bar, as new cases also emerged in schools and a care home for the disabled. Is there cause for concern, and is a rebound maybe happening very soon?
Well, alarm bells are sort of ringing, but only in the authorities' heads and the experts' heads. I think the people are, you know, over the long weekend. So you see, from October 1st until October 4th, this was a long weekend. You've got the Mid-Autumn Festival. And then on Friday, October 2, it was also a public holiday here. Everybody went out. So this was like, you know, the previous waves or the beginning of previous waves where you've got the Father's Day weekend some months back, you know, everybody was going out. It was a long weekend. Everybody was celebrating. So on Sunday, the authorities here decided to quarantine the staff and patrons of a bar called China Secret in Tsim Sha Tsui. There was a 22-year-old student who was diagnosed on Saturday. He visited the bar. There was a Thai visitor who tested positive last week and also thought to have been there. The Thai visitor lived in a unit with two other people. So you see how it spreads, right? If it spreads, it will do so like wildfire. And it turns out the bar may have breached social distancing measures. It's got 7 tables. It's supposed to keep the tables like 1.5 meters apart, you know, but it served 28 customers. So the experts are now worried that that could turn into cluster. I think the authorities are worried that this could turn into a cluster.
And there are other clusters emerging too, we understand.
Well, so you see, you've got unknown infections, unknown sources of infections. You've got a pharmacy worker, a Baptist University student, a disabled care home resident in Kwai Chung, all found to be infected, source of that infection unknown. For example, in the care home, right, about 30 residents and staff have been put into quarantine because of that when you have one case. And then separately, you have, you know, authorities now asking those who dined at a Vietnamese restaurant in Tsim Sha Tsui Hotel in the past week to get tested because a wait staff was infected. So we're seeing, you know, hopefully it's not a cluster, but then that's how it starts, right? With one person in a space and, you know, everybody, there was a school that had to close as well because a student tested positive. So, you know, we're starting to see that. It could be nothing, but then that could also mean that it's the start of, you know, clusters.
And it's those combination of factors that's concerning, right? Untraceable cases in the community, sick travellers slipping past checks, maybe the looming flu season. Experts say the fourth wave of infection could be imminent. How is the city stepping up to curb this potential new wave?
Particularly flu season is coming, right? So the authorities have actually previously put out a call to ask people to go and get themselves vaccinated. But then, you know, this morning, a government advisor on the pandemic has cautioned that Hong Kong risks a large-scale outbreak if the authorities don't move quick enough to tighten social distancing measures. Now, the Dean of the University of Hong Kong's Faculty of Medicine, Gabriel Leong, says that there may be an explosion in infection numbers given the reproduction number trend over the past couple of days. Now, this number is known as the R rate. It has reached 0.6 towards the end of last month. That's according to Hong Kong U's virus dashboard. And it's been predicted to rise above 1. And this means an explosion of the disease in Hong Kong. So they're predicting it to rise above 1. We are heading towards that, it seems so. So the epidemiologists stressed the importance of track and trace. You know, he's saying that more measures should be put in place to protect vulnerable groups like, you know, care homes. Residents and staff should be tested for the virus once a week. So far, what you have here is that the social distancing rules have been relaxed from two pax max to up to four people in public gatherings. Theme parks have opened, as well as certain sports facilities, the pools, gyms. Now churches and temples have reopened, and apparently, you know, a lot of people have flocked over to pray, perhaps. Yeah, so with this easing and, you know, more facilities, more community areas being opened up, it could exacerbate the situation.
And of course, the COVID-19 pandemic hasn't been kind to the tourism industry players over the holiday period as well. You mentioned the city missed out on estimates of at least 2.26 billion Hong Kong dollars in tourism revenue over the first 4 days of Golden Week. Was this subdued situation worse than expected, you reckon?
Well, if there's anything to know about Hong Kong's tourism industry, is that they rely a lot on mainland tourists. Mm. But the mainland tourists have not been coming to Hong Kong because, first off, because of last year's unrest, right? The months of demonstrations, they didn't want to come. There was the anti-Chinese sentiment. Now they don't want to come over because the numbers are high. And over in China, like in the mainland, they do it very well in that everybody's trapped, right? And so they can clamp down on any new infection or anybody who's infected. They can separate them and quarantine them quite quickly. Over here, it's kind of relaxed. So, you know, with the tourism industry, with basically borders being shut and mainland tourists not coming over, you only can rely on local, like domestic tourism, right? Staycations have actually helped. And this was because the Mid-Autumn Festival helped hotels here with the locals doing staycations because the borders are down and nobody's traveling, really traveling. So the tourism sector lawmaker, UC Wing, said the hotel industry enjoyed a rebound this long weekend holiday with theme park hotels fully booked, high-end hotels enjoying up to 90% room occupancy. But then he was concerned that this would not last. So he's urging the government to open up the borders with the mainland in a limited manner and to cancel the 14-day quarantine arrangement, which is now in place, right? And roll out the travel bubble scheme with one or two countries first. And then, you know, he's saying that the tourism sector could see layoffs and many companies closing down if the government doesn't do anything further.
But is there a right time, though, Claire, to push for travel bubbles with low-risk destinations like mainland China or Macau, especially with, say, a looming kind of fourth infection wave coming for Hong Kong? Possible.
Exactly, Howie. Yeah. There's just no, you can't pinpoint a right time. The right time will be when the numbers are low and they keep staying low. But that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is, you know, numbers stay low for a while and then they go up. And then it goes down again because, you know, the government tightens restrictions, right? And everybody's afraid. And then it goes down again. And then, so a right time, I don't think there will be a right time. And right now, tourism industry chiefs in Hong Kong are saying that the government should first resume travel with the mainland and Macau and use this as a litmus test of sorts so that other regions, right, can look at this, that it works, and then they'll be confident to do the same with Hong Kong. But at the end of the day, right, nobody wants to do a travel bubble with a city whose numbers are creeping up.
Yeah.
So on the part of Hong Kong, the government is saying that it's discussing quarantine-free travel arrangements with several other countries, you know, including Thailand, Japan, Germany, and even Singapore, right? So they're saying that they'll draw up service guidelines for the industry. But what you're looking at is something that's going to take a long time unless they agree that even when the numbers go up, that travel bubble still stays. Right?
All right.
So I think it's, yeah, I think it's
anyone's guess, I suppose, or still a ways away.
Yes.
Switching gears, though, a Kowloon teacher is the first in the city to be taken off professional register for purportedly spreading the idea of Hong Kong independence. She's been struck off for allegedly promoting the city's independence in class in what the government hailed as a blow against black sheep working in the education system. It's an unusual move, you think? Is it appropriate punishment or what's happening, Claire?
Well, Howie, this is the first known case. So the Education Bureau cancelled the registration of the school teacher, it says, used pro-Hong Kong independence materials in class. The teacher worked at Alliance Primary School in Kowloon Tong, and the principal of that school and five other staff members have been censured for either being lax in monitoring or using the controversial teaching material. And the school has confirmed that one of its teachers have left the job. So that's the status right now.
What's been said about all of this from the government's point of view, though?
Well, the bureau said the teacher had deliberately disseminated pro-independence messages in what was a premeditated act rather than a momentary negligence. So the teacher was said to have used twisted materials, you know, that involved independence movements, not just in Hong Kong, but get this, also in Taiwan, Xinjiang, and Tibet.
There's a theme.
Yeah, there's a theme. And then the teacher had also designed the teaching material that took up bulk of the time during two classes in March last year, talking about independence and the banned Hong Kong National Party. If you look at all these topics, these are all the red lines. I think the punishment was writing on the wall, right? For actions to be taken against, to take this teacher to task, given the fact that all these red lines have been breached. To be fair, Hong Kong has always been quite, I wouldn't say relaxed, but the government has always said, the Education Bureau has always urged schools and teachers, you know, to avoid these topics, right? To not preach about this for a few years now. So it's not as if they have not said anything. The official position has always been avoid. But teachers here, okay, if you talk to the teachers here, they are of the opinion that we should have critical thinking. So you've got two sides of the story. I guess this is what happens.
What's everyone else saying? How are people reacting? Parents maybe, other lawmakers?
Well, you've got mixed reaction there. You've got parents, you know, there was a parent whose child was taught by this teacher, was deregistered. He said that he didn't find any problems with the worksheets and that there was no premise for pro-independence answers. He's of the belief that critical thinking is necessary for his child. But then there are other parents who feel that the teachers should be disqualified if they cannot teach students using proper materials. If you ask education sector lawmaker, Kin Yuan, he would say that the officials had relied on written material, including worksheets and a lesson plan, instead of the full picture of what was happening in the classroom to assess the teacher. What his point was that, you know, as a teacher, you need to observe the lessons. He feels that besides materials, right, used, you have to look at the lesson plan and the actual delivering of the lessons, whether it was truly biased. And from there, then you can give a gauge about whether the teacher was truly promoting pro-independence thoughts to the students. But if you ask, obviously, it's very divided, right? And if you ask pro-Beijing education alliances, they will tell you the teacher should be deregistered. In fact, former chief executive Si Wah Leong is now saying the teacher should be named. And that's created a whole other debate.
Claire Huang, correspondent for The Straits Times. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Howie.
This has been Inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.